We're very happy this morning to have Brother Debski with us to serve us again. I hope all of you have taken time during the convention to fellowship with Brother Debski. And if you have, I think you have realized that he dearly loves the Lord, and he loves the doctrines of present truth, and he has a very great respect for the office of that wise and faithful servant. And he has a desire to encourage his brethren to make their calling and election sure. And his subject this morning is the fleece of wool. The fleece of wool, Brother Adolf. Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother. Dear brethren, we will take our encouragement from one picture of the Old Testament. Let's go back to the times of the judges. In the times of the judges, when the Israelites were to be attacked by Midianites and Amalekites and peoples of the east, Gideon, chosen by God for defending and delivering his brethren, wanted to be sure that God would be with Israel in the fight. And he asked a sign from God to get that assurance. It was the sign of the fleece of wool. We read the account in the 6th chapter of Judges, verse 33 through 14. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east assembled themselves together, and they passed over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered together after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, and they also were gathered together after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast spoken, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there be dew on the fleece only, and if it be dry upon all the ground, rather upon all the earth, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand as thou hast spoken. And it was so. For he rose up early in the morrow and pressed the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. So we see the picture. He rose up early in the morning, the dew was on the fleece, he wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. But Gideon was not totally satisfied. And he said unto God, Let now let not thy anger be kindled against me. And I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this one's with the fleece. Let it now be dry upon all the fleece, and upon all the ground, let there be dew. And God did so at night. For it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. So we see all the picture. Gideon wanted to be sure that God will be with him, and he asked a sign. He put a fleece on the ground and asked God, that's the dew, fall or fail on the fleece only. He rose up early in the morning, rinsed the fleece, he got a bowl full of water. It was not sufficient for him. He has another sign. The reverse now. God, let the dew come upon all the ground, all the earth, and let the fleece be dry. And God did so. So, encouraged by these signs, Gideon kept on making preparation for the battle, being assured of the final victory. But as for us, we wonder what lesson God prepared in these signs for the spiritual Israelites of the Gospel age. We wonder, why did the dew fall first on the fleece and the second time on the ground? Why not first on the ground and the second time on the fleece? What does the dew represent? We know the dew is a symbol of the blessing from above, as we read in Genesis chapter 27, verse 28. And God gives thee of the dew of heaven. The dew falling first on the fleece is then a picture of the blessings of God imparted first of all to a small class of persons. Here we see the reason why the dew fell on the fleece to begin with and not on the ground. The reverse would not be conformable to God's plan. And so it appears clearly that the fleece may only represent here the little flock to whom it is the Heavenly Father's good pleasure to give the kingdom. The fleece itself proves. So we see that the dew falling of the fleece first of all represents so the blessings the church has during the Gospel age, first of all. And that it is so, the fleece itself proves. A fleece of wool is the skin of an animal with its wool. Here it was undoubtedly a sheepskin with its wool. Let us see what lesson we may draw from that picture. The fleece implies the death of a sheep. It can be taken from the sheep only after the death of the animal. Then it speaks of sacrifice, of death, and represents those who have made a covenant with God by sacrifice, who have been baptized into the death of Christ. The fleece covered the body of the animal and represented then that body, and then further it represented a special body, the body of Christ, and more precisely the sacrifice of the justified human nature of the body of Christ, the Church. Following that picture, we may say that what happened to the Gideon fleece of wool involves a lesson which would develop only after the death of the head of the body. Only after the death of Christ. Furthermore, the fleece was of one piece. That speaks to us of the oneness of the body of Christ. All the members of that body are to be one. They are to be bound by one spirit, the Spirit of God, and by one mind, the mind of Christ. They are to be one, one with another, and one altogether, even as the Lord was and is one with God. That thought militates strongly in favor of the interpretation that in the picture of the fleece, the church is meant. The fleece was a fleece of wool. The wool, when we meditate upon, also offers valuable lessons. The wool guards against the cold. It keeps warmth. To the wool are associated thoughts of warm brotherly love, of warmth generated by the spirit of love, the spirit of sacrifice, which leads to spend one's life for brethren, according to our Lord's words. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John chapter 15, verse 13. Another property of the wool is to absorb water. It absorbs the dew and keeps the water, and it swells when receiving a great amount of water. So the church, the delight receiving the dew of blessings from above, they absorb the water of truth and keep it preciously and let him help them grow as new creatures. This involves an appreciation of the blessings coming from above, a love for God, for the truth, and for all that comes from God. This also involves a constant desire of communion with God and of drinking the water of life as expressed in Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. And in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, we read, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy words were unto me a joy, and the rejoicing of mine heart. The purpose of the descent of the antitypical dew on the antitypical fleece of wool during the Gospel Age is to take out of the nations a people for God's name, to develop them as new creatures, to make them copies of his only begotten Son, that they may be used in the future to grant his blessings to the whole world of mankind. But let us consider what Gideon did with the fleece. He rose up early in the morrow and pressed the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. He pressed the fleece together. The fleece pressed together may be an illustration of the trials endured by the little flock during the whole gospel age. The Apostle Paul wrote in the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 8 through 10. We are pressed on every side, yet not straitened. Perplexed, yet not unto despair. Pursued, yet not forsaken. Smitten down, yet not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. But the context does not seem to sustain such an interpretation that the pressing of the fleece would represent the trials through which the members of the Christ pass throughout all the gospel age. The fleece was pressed together not during the night. And we know that the night represents the whole gospel age. But early in the morning. It would mean that we should seek the antitypical fulfillment in a time early in the morning, after the antitypical Gideon rose up. We all agree Gideon typifies our Lord. So the rising up of Gideon seems undoubtedly to correspond to the standing up of Michael, referred to in Daniel chapter 14, verse 1, and consequently to the second presence of the Lord. That rising up occurred early in the morning. It is indeed early in the morning, at the dawn, in the very beginning of a new day, that our Lord came back. And that new day is the day of his presence. The Apostle Paul calls it the day of the Lord in the first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 5 and verse 2. When our Lord rose up, one of the first things he did was to deal with the members of his body. He awakened the sleeping ones, and since the time of that awakening, he is changing in the twinkling of an eye those who end their course as overcomers. It is the first resurrection which he is carrying out. Let us not forget, dear brethren, that the work of the first resurrection is closely linked up to the return of the Lord, as the following verses point out. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, but for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We repeat, I come again and will receive you unto myself. To receive the disciples unto himself can only be by the awakening of the sleeping ones from the dead and changing the others at the moment of their death. And now we quote the first epistle to the Thessalonians, verse chapter 4, verse 15, 16, and 17. We know these verses, but we quote them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we that are alive, that are left unto the coming, the presence of the Lord, shall in no wise precede them that are fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive, that are left, shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We repeat here too, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive, that are left, shall together, the thought is at the same time, note the harvest time, with them be caught up in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. Here too, the resurrection of the church is forcibly connected with our Lord's return. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. First Epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 51 and 52. The last trump, the trump of God, the Jubilee trump, is being sounded, as it is explained in the second volume. And consequently, we are to accept the Apostle's word that the dead in Christ have been raised up, and that the change in the twinkling of an eye is being fulfilled. The whole change from one state to another seems to be expressed in these words, the change from one state of the church to another. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. First Epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 42, 43, and 44. This change appears to be well illustrated in the pressing together of the fleece by Gideon and wringing all of the dew out of it. In what Gideon did, there was indeed a change from one state to another. The dew retained by the wool of the fleece during the night was in such a way transferred as water into a bowl. How well this represents the passing from the spirit-begotten state here on earth. The fleece was put on the ground. So the change, the passing from the spirit-begotten change to the state of the birth of the spirit in heavenly conditions, as perfected and completed and glorified new natures. All the water pressed and gathered out of the fleece filled completely a bowl prepared by Gideon. It was exactly what the bowl could contain. There was not one drop more, nor one drop less. And this is surprising. Not one drop more, and not one drop less. God foresaw that the dew fallen on the fleece would give the amount of water necessary to fill the bowl, but no more and no less. How well it carries the lesson that God foresaw a determined number of those who will become members of the bride class, of the little flock. There will be 144,000. Not one member more, and not one member less. Another lesson that may be drawn from the bowl full of water is that the spirit begotten ones, when they are changed and have received new vessels, spiritual bodies, will have bodies which will exactly fit to their new nature. They will have those bodies they will need. After this first sign, Gideon was not completely satisfied. He asked for another one and said unto God, as we read previously, "Let not thine anger be kindled against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, but let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. This time, the dew was on all the ground, on all the earth, according to the French Bible Darby. And indeed, it will be so in the antitype. The blessings secured by our Lord's sacrifice will come to the whole world after the church will have had their blessings. These will be blessings of eternal life on earth. The raising of the dead will take place, and the opportunity will be given to each one of the human race to attain to the original perfection lost in Eden. Sorrows, pains, sicknesses will flee away. Justice, peace, love, and happiness will flourish. All the earth will become as the Garden of Eden. The incorrigible ones, the fulfilled sinners, will be destroyed, and after the final trial at the end of the millennial, there will be no more less. That will be the meaning of the dew fallen upon all the ground. And let us note, brethren, that in the case of the dew fallen upon the fleece, the dew was not absorbed by the earth. When the dew fell upon the fleece, it was not absorbed by the earth. It did not penetrate unto the earth, but was retained by the wool of the fleece, and thus was transferred as water into a bowl. But when it fell on the ground, it remained in the ground and brought the water necessary for the growth of vegetation. Thus was shown the fact that the blessings which mankind will receive will be of the earthly kind, of the human kind. Their effects, their result, will always remain on earth. Mankind will absorb them and will keep them, availing themselves of them during the whole eternity. Those blessings are foreseeable and wonderfully described in the 35th chapter of Isaiah prophecy. But as for the church, their blessings will be of another kind, of the spiritual kind. They will pass from earthly state and condition to heavenly state and condition, as we read in the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 15 and verse 49. As we have borne the image of the earthy, of Eden, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, of the raised and glorified Christ. And in the first epistle of John, chapter 3 and verse 2, we read, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, as the Apostle Paul in the first epistle to the Corinthians, to the Thessalonians, verse chapter 4, verse 17. And that transfer from that transfer process from one state to the other of the church is well depicted in the dew fallen on the fleece and then gathered out of it into a ball. Nevertheless, something of the church will remain on earth. The fleece of wool, the dry fleece of wool will remain of earth. But let us be more precise, the dry fleece of wool will remain. What may it represent? What of the church will remain on earth? Of course, the elements constituting the human bodies will remain. The dust they are will return to the dust. But it seems that the dry fleece of wool represents rather something else. It may rather represent the remembrance people will have of the members of the church. When the general resurrection takes place, people will note that some are lacking among them. They will ask, but where is my old neighbor or my old friend? And they will learn that their old neighbor or their old friend or their father or mother, brother and sister, grandfather or grandmother are now in heaven with the Lord as members of the glorified little flock and the bride of Christ. People will know that those members were accounted worthy of a share in the portion of the spiritual blessings prepared by God to the little flock because of their faithfulness to him, to his word, and because of their service for the truth and the brethren, and because of their love for one another and even for their enemies. And people will keep them in memory and will say, this one and that one are born in Zion, according to Psalm 87, verse 5, which we read, yea, out of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one was born in her. They were born in Zion, in the spiritual part of the kingdom. They have had a share in the first resurrection to honor, glory, and immortality, and they will henceforth ever be with the Lord. These people will know and keep in memory. For Gideon, those two signs given in connection with the fleece of wool were a great encouragement. They gave him confidence, the assurance that God will be with him and that the battle against the Midianites was sure to be won. And indeed, it was. May they also give confidence to us, their brethren. If God is in such a way looks after the fleshly Israelites, we may be sure he looks all the more after the spiritual Israelites. Let us totally trust in him and rely upon him. Let our faith be so active as was Gideon's. Having God with us, let us have this confidence that trusting in him, in his providential care, and relying upon him, upon our redeemer's merits, which make up for our shortcomings, and fighting the good fight of faith according to our abilities, daily encouraged and strengthened by the grace from above, we will win the battle against our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, just as Gideon and his little band of 300 men overcome these enemies. So may this picture, brethren, be an encouragement for us. Let us remember Gideon and the two signs of the fleece of wool. First of all, the dew came upon the fleece and not upon the ground. It represents well the blessings the church received during the gospel age. Let us also remember that when Gideon rose up early in the morning, it represents well the second presence of the antitypical Gideon of our Lord, who also rose up early in the morning of a new day, and being raised up, so he dealt with the church. He resurrected the sleeping ones and is changing in the twinkling of an eye, those who end their course afterwards. But he is dealing with the church, and also we know with the word, but his first concern was for the church, and he is taking her unto him. And then when the church will be complete, we know that the blessings will come upon the whole world of mankind. So the dew will fall upon the whole earth after. What a beautiful lesson of the blessings God had in mind, first for the church and then for the whole world of mankind. So may this beautiful picture remain in our minds and hearts, and may it strengthen us and comfort us that we may continue faithfully in the footsteps of our Lord. And may God add his blessings to our study. Amen.
Brother Depsky makes it very easy for the chairman. Thank you, Brother Depsky, for sharing your insights from your study on the fleece of wool. we're going to have our convention photograph taken during this intermission. So we're going to ask you to forego your immediate fellowship after the closing hymn and prayer and go directly out of the auditorium, the back doors, and turn to your right out the back doors and make a, or rather turn to your left. Pardon?
Same place as last year.
Yeah, but not everybody was here last year. Obi. Turn to your left out of the hall. Go out the back doors and turn to your right. Follow the crowd. And there will be a hill there that you'll be standing on. The speakers are to be seated in the front. There will be chairs there for the speakers. Now, we're just telling you to follow the crowd going out for the group picture. Please, when you go home from the convention, don't follow the crowd. Let us close with the first and last verses of hymn number 171. 171. Praise the Lord, our King is marching on. Brother Dembski, would you close with prayer?
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to Thee with thankful hearts. We are grateful for all the many blessings we receive from Thee. And we ask for Thy continual blessings, that we may remain faithful to Thee, that we may glorify Thee from all our hearts, from all our souls, from all our powers. May also our love be greater for Thee and for all the brethren. May we continue faithful in the footsteps of our dear Redeemer. We ask Thy blessings also for the whole day of today and for all the members throughout all the whole world. Bless them that all of Thy children may be faithful to Thee. And all these blessings we ask Thee in the name of Jesus. Amen.